Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be in. However you may be making this part of your day, thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, filling in for Colin Cowherd. Big Ten football. On our screens, in our hearts and minds right now, over on Fox, Iowa, taking on Nebraska. As Nebraska trying to live up to the lofty expectations of Big Red and Big Red Nation. We got a lot to get into. Yesterday was not exactly or not even close to being beautiful football, right? Nobody's going to take that tape and go, this is exactly how you play. No, not so much. Not even a little bit. That's not how you play. But, look, I do think that there's some takeaways from it. I do think that the Dallas Cowboys, it doesn't hurt them that they lose. You know, there was some bizarre decisions by Mike McCarthy going forward on fourth down, running reverses on four, fake reverses on fourth down, going for it twice, not getting it, fake punts in kind of odd timing. All of those things are just head scratchers. Absolutely head scratchers in terms of, wait, should we really be doing this right now? ? But the takeaway has to on some level be, okay, well, I get it, you know. I do get that the Cowboys are probably better off losing. And one of the reasons they're better off losing is, what was the tipping point in when the Cowboys went from a team that was loaded? I understand, is Dak as good as his contract may end up being or would have ended up being or whatever? No. Dak Prescott is not a top five quarterback. You can't convince me of otherwise. He's not in the Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes, Russell Wilson. He's not in that discussion. And I don't think he's in that discussion of the next group to be totally honest with you, right? And you're like, next group. That next group of quarterbacks is really good. Is he as dynamic as Kyler? I don't know. Doesn't feel that way. Much bigger, but not as accurate. Athletic, but not as athletic. Is he Deshaun Watson? Like, no. Doesn't feel that way, right? Doesn't really kind of feel that way. And then you start to go through some of these other quarterbacks. And obviously, you know, Lamar has, whether he bumped into his ceiling or people figured him out, whereas Dak statistically was getting better. The problem with Dak was we went from, well, Dak wins, to now, don't worry about if Dak wins or not, it's not his fault. Look at the stats that he's pointing out. Those two kind of contradict each other. I've told people, like, you know, you want to give him Carson Wentz's contract. One, did he ever have the year that Carson Wentz had when he's going to be the MVP the year they ultimately won the Super Bowl? No. And two, what has Carson Wentz's contract done to that team? Because he's not playing nearly as well as that contract deems he should play. So I look at it and but I like Dak. And I do think he's good. I do think he's solid. And he would be really hard to replace. And there is the idea in your mind, well, you could save a bunch of money if you let him walk at the end of the year and you just draft somebody, especially if you're drafting the top five and you have all these talented quarterbacks. But yes, you can load up your roster. You can load up your roster if you have a quarterback under rookie control, under rookie contract. The thing, though, for the Cowboys is they don't ever feel like a team that's going to tank and then dump their quarterback. What's the best we could do? Find a franchise quarterback? We have a franchise quarterback. But that doesn't mean that tanking isn't still valuable to them, because that number one, number two, number three, number four pick, those are going to be gold. gold. Think of all the teams that need a quarterback. Right? Bears need a quarterback. Jags need a quarterback. There's a chance the Jets decide, we'll get rid of Sam Darnold. We'll need a quarterback. Patriots need a quarterback. Like, I could go on. There's a lot of teams that need a quarterback. Need one. Dolphins seem to have theirs, but, I mean, you got to at least have a little bit of pause with their feelings about not being able to win immediately with Tua. Chargers have found their quarterback. There's no question there. Texans have their quarterback. Like, we go through. Chiefs obviously have their quarterback. I think Giants do too. Danny Dimes. But plenty of teams need a quarterback. We'll see what happens with Garoppolo in the offseason. I think the Raiders, Derek Carr, is going to be their quarterback for a long time. But for the Cowboys, you have to look at this and say, look, once we signed Ezekiel Elliott, and it's not just that they gave a running back too much money. Lots of people have done that. It was the series of events. His contract wasn't up. He still had the fourth and the fifth year, and he was holding out. So they paid him early, much the way the Rams paid Todd Gurley early. How'd that work out? Not good. Not good. So one, paying him early. Two, paying him before it was really his turn in line. Like what they should have been able to do is figure out Dak's contract first. Then, last offseason, if they couldn't figure out Amari, they could have franchise-tagged Amari. And then Jalen Smith could have gotten paid, and Zeke could have gotten paid. But because he hopped in line and cut in line, and they paid him, and now he's not an elite running back. He's just not. He's fine. He's not terrible. He's not a bum. But he's definitely not worth what you're paying him. And considering it upset the apple cart in the series of how they want to do things, Cowboys are kind of screwed. And they have to, on some level, think about tanking and then reloading their talent pool with the draft. Doesn't mean it has to be quarterback. You trade out that pick, you get a bunch of second-round picks, you load up with some young talent, and you get after it again next year. And that's what going for it and playing so loose with what could have been a win feels like to me. Doesn't it to you? Doesn't it? So, and that was, I mean, like, look, the games were a mess. They weren't good. But at least we thought we had the Steelers game. At least we thought we had the Steelers-Ravens. Great rivalry. Two really respected franchises. Outstanding defenses. Different quarterbacks. One's won two Super Bowls. The other one's won MVP. But it would have felt great if you ate early and you woke up from your nap and then you turn on your TV and you're like, AFC North football. Yes, please. Yes, please. I don't know what the weather was like in Pittsburgh, but I visualized it being bad so I could just go like, this feels awesome. And we didn't have it. And what's crazy is we still might not have it on Sunday. Do we have any update as of now on the Sunday? Do we have any update on it? Anyone? Bueller. I mean, look, all the signs point to them not having a football game. The Steelers didn't have practice today. Right? Basically, it feels like Mike Tomlin had one more positive test for the Ravens. But yesterday, Lamar Jackson tested positive. They're not in great shape. So the Steelers, it looks like Mike Tomlin's like, look, I think we got the weekend off. Otherwise, go wrap yourselves in a bubble. Don't say nothing to nobody about nothing. Got it? Now they're looking at Tuesday for a game. And then remember, the problem becomes, when are the Ravens supposed to play next week? Aren't they supposed to play early next week? Right? And they're going to push that one back to Sunday. Like, the Ravens, it's good for the Steelers to get some extra rest, but at some point, and they're just trying to get it in so that they have an even number of games. And it doesn't feel like, and here's the thing which is really interesting from the Ravens' perspective. Cam Newton, I believe, is the only other starting quarterback to miss because he tested positive for Rona, right? Is that accurate? You guys can look it up. That's what it feels like to me. And Cam, look, do I think Cam is great? No. Has he had problems with his fundamentals in the past? Yes. Does he need the reps? Absolutely. But Cam Newton was bad out of COVID. Like, remember, he was playing really, really good football. And some of it was people adjusted, but some of it was, I don't think he did much when he had the Rona. So first you hope that Lamar Jackson is okay, that he's asymptomatic, that it goes away, that it doesn't spread, that they don't all get sick. Like, of course you're a human being. Of course you hope that. Then the second part is, man, you hope he comes out of it a little bit better in terms of playing than Cam Newton did. Right? You hope he does. This feels like a win for the Steelers because you're going to go against the Raven backups. You're going to get some extra time off. Yes, are you going to have games that are condensed and not have a bye week? Okay. Okay. But you'll get the bye week because you'll be the number one seed. Still, I mean, the idea of sliding these games and moving around days is just, I mean, it's bizarre. It's bizarre. And the Titans, based upon how they played last time when they didn't have practice for like a week and they came out and end up looking really sharp, that actually doesn't help the argument that you need practice to look great, especially midseason. Sometimes less stuff is mental reps are better than physical reps. All right, more on that to come. I have my picks for the weekend. Colin does his Blazing Five. I do 5-4-5. That and Charles Robinson will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Steelers-Ravens game. Why did the Cowboys play like it was some meaningless bowl game? And what's going on in Miami in terms of long-term future for Tua? Find out next. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be making this part of your day. Iowa, Nebraska. Iowa lining up for a 32-yard field goal. And, wow, that one did he kick that into the wind? Or did it mean to screwball in the, I mean, that ball made a direct right turn. It looked like one of my drives off the tee box, which I think I'm gonna tee it up to this weekend. Anyway, it was a bad snap. The holder got it down, but the ball goes like what looked like to the left of the upright, and the wind just blew it. He kicked it. It was like a video game. Like, you know how you play it off the video game with the wind? It doesn't really work out that way. But now, 13-6, Iowa. 13-6, Iowa, which is close to the first half. That's in Iowa City. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports just around the corner. We'll get his take on this. What I guess is going to be a Tuesday game now, Ravens and Steelers. It's supposed to be Thursday, now Tuesday. The Cowboys mean to lose yesterday? Kind of felt that way. It would seem as though the Matt Patricia era is going to come to an end in Detroit, but I don't know. The same GM who hired him is the same GM who's his boss, so who knows? But let's first get to my picks. Oh, okay. You guys don't have the picks open? You don't have the 5-for-5 open? All right. You guys just want me to do the picks cold and go like, number five. All right, here's my 5-for-5 picks. Just in case you're aware or not aware, the Doug Gottlieb Show airs every day immediately following Colin Cowherd's show, The Herd.
Number five.
All right, that's what we'll do. We do a little NFL music or something in the background or something fun so that I can stall and talk. The Bills have issues in their offensive line. The Chargers come in, and the Chargers finally won a game this past weekend. There we go. All right. All right. So here's my thing on the – I'm going to take the Chargers and the 5 points. And you may ask yourself, self, why would you take the Chargers? Well, the Chargers have had offensive line issues all year long here with injuries. Now they're starting to strike the Buffalo Bills. Cody Ford is going to miss the remainder of the season with a knee injury he suffered in practice. He'd started 22 of 23 games since the Bills drafted him. And he's kind of been their Swiss Army knife. John Brown's going to miss his third straight game. That's not a huge effect on the Bills. And they may or may not get Mitch Morse back, who is their starting center. With the issues piling up, and then frankly, the Chargers is good. And this is a Chargers team that talent has not been an issue. They just found a ways to lose close games. Every loss has been within a touchdown. That's why the spread is 5. Obviously, if you can get it at 7, you're great. 5, I'll take it. I'm going to take the Chargers on the road in Buffalo.
Number 4.
Giants are taking on the Bengals. What was the only thing holding the Bengals together? Joe Burrow. Do you know who's not playing this weekend for the Cincinnati Bengals? You guessed it, Joe Burrow. Meanwhile, the Giants are playing for a playoff spot? That is completely and totally accurate. There's also a story in Cincinnati that the players don't trust the head coach. All right, that they're not should stop me if you heard this before, but it's not exactly kumbaya. And Brandon Allen is going to be the starting quarterback, and he's a practice squad guy. That's what they're doing. Practice squad guy going against the Giants. And the Giants aren't great defensively, but I think this one feels easy to me. The G-Men are 6-point favorites in Cincinnati. Should not matter. You're talking third, fourth string quarterback. Now, Brandon Allen has started before, if you remember. Those other three starts came for the Denver Broncos. He's only getting the start because, well, you have Joe Burrow out. And then, you know, Ryan Finley didn't play well. He was actually terrible. Just absolutely awful. So that's where they're going. Giovanni Bernard, who's been a bit of a malcontent, held out of practice because of concussion. Wasn't clear if he's going to play. They're going to start Samaje Perine as they don't have Joe Mixon. So you're working on third-string quarterback, third-string running back for the Bengals, who are already bad. Give me the Giants.
Number three.
The Browns are taking on the Jaguars, and Mike Glennon gets the start. Like, where do I remember that name, Mike Glennon? Okay, Mike Glennon is the guy who replaced Russell Wilson at NC State. Do you guys know that? Russell Wilson started NC State first 3 years, and then his coach was like, look, you can't go play spring and summer baseball. And Russell Wilson said, well, yes, I can. I'm going to transfer to Wisconsin, where he played with a loaded team that won the Rose Bowl. Mike Glennon stayed behind. He got the start early in his career. He actually set records. Drafted by Tampa, didn't work out there. Then remember, Chicago signed him as a free agent, only to then draft Mitch Trubisky. Glennon was odd man out in Oakland last year with the Raiders before they moved to Vegas. I feel like almost Jacksonville wants to lose, and Mike Glennon is a good way to lose. And they're taking on the Browns. They're playing good football. They're going to run it. They're going to run it right at you, and they got versatile weapons. They're not bad throwing it. Again, another team that has to win by a touchdown. I still like the Browns. No, you got me at number two.
Number two.
Jets finally have their wide receiving core, finally have Sam Darnold, and this is kind of your us against the world. Meanwhile, the Dolphins, they're still trying to figure out who their starting quarterback is. I feel like Brian Flores is kind of screwing with them. And this is the game that, you know, Adam Gase circles twice a year when they play it. They've already played them once, and Fitzpatrick was the starter. Everybody thought that. The schedule was weird. It was supposed to be Jets, Dolphins, bye week, Jets, Dolphins, part two. Instead, they obviously changed things around. So, I think the Jets win this one straight up. Swear to you. They're a 7-point dog at home. I'm going to take the Jets to win.
Number one.
This one feels too easy. Chiefs taking on the Buccaneers. And I know we have this thing about home field advantage. We have this thing about Tom Brady. He plays bad 1 week. He'll play good the next week. Tom Brady is a home dog taking on the Chiefs. I love the Chiefs here. I love the Chiefs. You know, their starting center for the Buccaneers is out for the year. They're without the starting guard. They don't seem to be a cohesive unit. The defense isn't quite as good. Look, the back end of that defense isn't good. The front seven is good. Do you think they'll be challenged by the Chiefs in terms of their defensive backfield? Yeah. Chiefs are 3-point favorites. I don't like Butker's had an up and down year. But other than that, I love this pick. This one seems too easy. I know when it seems too easy, it usually isn't. But give me the Bucks. So Bucks, Jets, Browns, Giants, Chargers. Yeah, I know. That's 4 favorites. Sorry. Still like the picks. Those are the 5. All right, let's get to Lee with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
All right, Doug, we got a little exhibition action this weekend. Are you looking forward to the Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. fight? It's going to be no knockouts, 8 rounds, just 2 minutes apiece.
How can they have three. I mean, what are we doing here?
12-ounce gloves.
What are we doing here?
How much do you think Mike Tyson's making in this fight?
Oh, he's making a lot.
He's making $10 million.
$10 million, I'll fight anybody. $10 million, I'll fight anybody.
Roy Jones is making only three. And Mike Tyson yesterday, for Thanksgiving, he had a cake made in the shape of Roy Jones Jr.'s head. Now, do you know what piece of the cake he ate first?
The ear.
Of course.
I mean, he's playing it up.
So no knockouts, no cuts. If they get cut, they end it.
If they get cut, they end it?
Yeah, if they get cut, they end it.
What is this, like a slap fight?
Yeah, well, apparently there's
going to
be...
By the way, have you seen those slap fights, like the Russian slap fights?
Yeah, those are gnarly.
Those are gnarly. A lot more contact than what's going to go on tomorrow. Like, why don't they just have him fight Floyd Mayweather if they want nobody to hit anybody? Oh!
How about another exhibition here? LaVar Ball admitting that a one-on-one game against Michael Jordan isn't happening, although he did say, if you're going to see me and Mike play, it's going to be for the small price of $200 million on pay-per-view. Dollar short, we're not playing.
$200 million? LeVar, nobody wants to see you play. Like, if Jordan plays one-on-one, he can command that. LeVar, like, Jordan has all the weight in that deal.
He says, realistically, neither of us is going to do it. We're over 50 years old.
No, you'd get crushed. Look, I like how he's playing this off. The problem is, like now he's, like, doubling down. Now if we get Lonzo and we get Jello, like, dude, just be happy that they're both in the league. Lonzo's holding on for hope that he can get any minutes this year. Remember, the New Orleans Pelicans traded for Eric Bledsoe, and then they drafted a point guard as well. So Lonzo's the backup in New Orleans, if that. Different GM than the one that drafted him, different coach than the one that drafted him, and he was terrible coming out of the bubble. Their concentration just needs to be on getting Melo ready and getting Zoe ready for the season.
All right, the Commodores are traveling to Missouri tomorrow. And they're being held back a little bit. Many of their specialists on their team are dealing with COVID-related quarantines. So, to make a little history here, Vanderbilt's women's soccer starting goalkeeper, Sarah Fuller.
Is she going to play? Is she going to kick?
She is dressing up. She's traveling with the team. They have not yet said if she's going to play, but if she does log a snap, she'll be the first woman to do so in a Power 5 game.
Amazing. Amazing. Now, it has happened before. Not in a real college football game. Do you remember what happened before?
No.
You ever seen the movie Necessary Roughness?
Not sure if I have.
Really? Wow. With a straight arrow, Ed Gennaro. They come to Texas State. They get the death penalty, right? Because they were cheating. And so they hire Ed Straight Arrow Gennaro. They find Scott Bakula, who plays Paul Blake. Like a Sinbad plays Andre Krim. Right? Larry Miller is like the evil dean of the school, who he's just a hard-driving academician. And Kathy Ireland plays Lucy Draper, who's the female kicker. And in the monsoon, it's anybody's ball game. So that's basically what Vanderbilt has become. And you know what? I love it. I mean, look, if she misses, you're like, it's college kickers. They always miss. It's a no-lose proposition. Right? Because Vanderbilt has lost all of their games anyway. Who cares they lose another one? All right. And that's the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
This is Doug Gottlieb for Colin. This is The Herd. Gave you my picks as we're continuing to watch college football. Nebraska trying to tie it up before the half. They are down 13-6. There's 40 seconds remaining, and they are at the 1 foot line. Tick, 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 tick. They do have two timeouts. Again, it's second and goal, 30 seconds to go in the first half. That game on Fox. Let's welcome in Charles Robinson, NFL expert, insider for Yahoo Sports. Also has the NFL podcast for Yahoo Sports. He joins us here in The Herd on Fox Sports Radio. Not a lot of great that comes out of yesterday, but I do wonder, what do you make of the Cowboys and their decisions to go for it twice on fourth down?
I think at this point, the season is in such desperation mode. Like, I know there's a couple of different ways to look at this. Number one, you look at it and say, well, hey, you know, it's a team that's still technically in the hunt for the playoffs. You know, the NFC stinks. They win this game and you know, potentially in the driver's seat to qualify for the postseason. But I think there's a sort of a micro story going on right here, and part of that is the pressure that's starting to build on Mike McCarthy. And, you know, he kind of snaps about the play calling questions, you know, after the game. And you know, I think he sort of thought in his mind that maybe some – I think he had heard some laughter, and he thought some reporters were laughing at him at one point during the Q&A. And that wasn't even the case. I think Mike's kind of – there's a hamster wheel spinning in his head right now over, like, knowing that he has not gotten the job done this year, knowing that Mike Nolan, his defensive coordinator, you know, should Mike McCarthy survive this, I don't see – the ownership sitting there and saying, hey, we can just keep everything the same. Like, because they're not turning a corner. And I think Mike has backed Mike Nolan to a certain point that there's starting to be some discomfort there, because he knows that the reality is Mike Nolan probably is going to have to be the guy who takes the fall for a lot of things that have gone wrong this year, regardless of the injury situation. So I think you look at the court, you know, he's playing with a backup quarterback, all the injuries on the offensive line. You know, I think he's basically swinging for the fences right now, knowing that, you know, the only way that he can really get this thing turned in the right direction is to hope that, you know, some of the bold moves sort of pay off, but they haven't. And those play calling questions aren't going away. And the Kellen Moore offensive coordinator questions aren't going away. And this one is really hard to gauge, because there have been so many injuries. I asked the pro personnel guy a couple weeks ago about the Cowboys, and he said, I don't even know how you would evaluate the progress in the franchise. So there's so many injuries. Everything's so out of whack there that I don't even know how you can measure whether or not a coach has really done a good job at this state, because so many guys are filtering in and out that, you know, and then you add in all the COVID stuff. You have the, you know, head strength and conditioning coach passes away this week, which really rattled the team.
That would rattle anybody. And it happened at the facility. And you know how close some of those guys, I know Leighton Vander Esch is really close to him. Like, that is... that is really, really hard. Really hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally a season from hell. I mean, I don't know any other way to describe it for the Cowboys, just because the multitude of injuries. You know, the Dak Prescott thing, you know, that really shook up the organization. That messed up, I think, a lot of players' heads, sort of seeing. If you want to trace where this really felt like it went in the tank, it was when, you know, Dak was laying on the field with his foot pointed in the wrong direction. And I think that really messed up a lot of players who saw that. It shook them. And then, you know, Dak wasn't in, you know, he's not there every day. There was a tremendous element of leadership when you talk to the players about Dak Prescott that he brings into that locker room that I think got lost. And, you know, the wheels start to come off after that, mm-hmm. even worse than really the way they were defensively. And then, you know, as the losses pile on top of themselves and there's more injuries and the questions all filter in. And then, as you know, like we said, having tragedy hit now like this in front of the players, it was something that occurred in, you know, the players were around when this happened. It's just hard to shake that. And yeah. So I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to see how ownership really tries to do the analysis on this season with Mike McCarthy and that staff, just because so many things went wrong. And trust me, there are not a lot of teams out there when you talk to pro personnel guys about evaluating tape, whoever really want to, you know, they don't really want to give Dallas credit for really anything. I mean, it's just in their nature. And you know, like I said, I've had guys who could have killed the Cowboys and just said, look, man, I look at the All-22 and I'm just telling you, there's so much out there that shouldn't be out there. What do you do in that situation?
Yeah. Charles Robinson joining us here in the herd. Let me ask you about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's one thing to criticize Tom Brady behind the scenes as he was in New England, right? That's like all the stories that came out was he was held accountable, you know, and that was one of the things that made him great. Belichick would call him on the carpet in front of everybody, but never really publicly. Arians has called him out publicly. You know, he might be misreading things. He's missing throws in games. He doesn't miss in practice. How is that going over with Tom Brady?
Well, you know, it's certainly different. I mean, it's I don't think Tom's mentally soft. I think to me, particularly early in the season, the first time Bruce did it, it was sort of like, whoa, this is a big shift for us in the media, because we don't see any coaches really come out and question Tom like that. And he really hadn't had the mistakes, that piled on top of each other to allow that to happen. But Bruce did it right off the bat, when he started to throw some of these bad interceptions. And, I think it was part of it is Bruce making sure that publicly outward facing, he remains the same person he's always been. He's always been willing to criticize quarterbacks. He's coached a number of really great quarterbacks and been open about maybe some of the mistakes they've made, and he's not going to change that for Tom. I think he's also protecting Byron Leftwich, because questions are going to creep in. People are going to blame – typically people are going to try – there's a certain segment of people who will try to blame Tom last.
Yeah, anybody but Tom. I got it. Yep.
Right. It's the system. It's the calls. It's this. It's the personnel, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think Bruce is – he's not that coach. So he's not going to let that happen, period. If it's a player who's making a mistake, he's going to be honest about it. It's different for Tom just because we haven't seen it, in all these years. But that's on Brady then. He had to know this is what he was signing up for when he went to Tampa. And I do think, although some of it is definitely on Tom, he's made some really bad throws. You look at the last game, the two picks. I don't know how he couldn't see a safety coming over given Tom's – level of experience. But I think when you look particularly the last pick he throws, it's under 2 minutes, they're driving, they need a field goal. What was striking to me was they took a shot, okay? And that has been an offense, in this offense, they take a lot of vertical shots. And you go back to New England, think of what Tom doesn't have, or the functionality that he had in New England that's not in Tampa Bay. He threw a lot to running backs. I mean, you're talking 10, 15 targets a game, to running backs. To move the balls quick, it was concise, it was 15 and in. Whereas the Tampa Bay offense, because they have a different set of personnel, you take a lot of those shots downfield. Well, that puts pressure on Tom to make sure, hey, know where the safety is at all times. And clearly, there have been times where he hasn't. And it was interesting, you go back to the first couple of games, you could see Tom going to the line of scrimmage and looking at his wristband after they broke the huddle, which is crazy, because that means – he's still learning the offense.
Right.
He's going to the line of scrimmage not knowing, exactly what everything, the verbiage or whatever. I think he's past that now, but he's gotten hit a little bit. Yeah. I don't think Tom's on the top of his game when he gets hit. I think the lack of the running backs, and then I think it's, not having, like I said, that constancy of a 15 yards and in offense that
right.
he had in New England.
That's to me the biggest thing is, like, look, it's a bad fit. And you and I talked about this before the season, and everybody just came up with the idea like, nah, they'll work it out. You got two right. smart guys. They're like, since Randy Moss left, this is what he was, give me option routes. Give me Wes Welker.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
give me Julian Edelman. And, even before that, you had Troy Brown or whatever. And he would right. get up to the line of scrimmage, and he got rid of it really quick. Like, the whole thing
right.
was, he got rid of it so quick, you couldn't get to him. And Baltimore was the one team that could get him off his spot. Or the Giants in the Super Bowl, because they didn't blitz, they could get him off the spot. No one else could. Now you got a coach who likes you to hold it. And all the guys he's had success with, Roethlisberger, Luck, and Carson Palmer, big guys that are pretty athletic and hold it and throw the ball down the field. That's not him. It's a bad fit.
They take punishment. Yeah, and even Tom, the thing is, too, after Moss, and I think that's a really good point when you talk about sort of the functionality of the offense he existed in after Randy Moss. People are always like, well, geez, Bill was so bad at going and getting wide receivers and all these. Well, they didn't have a lot of deep guys. They go get Brandon Cooks. And then they deal Brandon Cooks pretty quickly. He didn't spend much time in New England. And, it's a lot of the downfield stuff that Tom was throwing was to who? It was to Gronk down the seams,
right.
where he had a natural mismatch.
Here's my working kind of hypothesis. And Charles Robinson joining us, Yahoo Sports. And I know some NFL people, I know 15-fold of how many I know. And so maybe this is the discussion that we need to have is we've always had this thought of, man, he doesn't get the big name guy. Well, he actually did. Okay, Chad Johnson, but Chad Johnson couldn't line up right. Didn't. And so Tom is all about precision, right? Reading where you're supposed to be and being exactly where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. And the guys that do that the best a lot of times are those slot guys, those guys that lack maybe the top end speed. So they have to be way more efficient than the Gazelles, than the Mike Evanses of the world, because Mike Evans can make up for being a yard off of where he should be because he's just a freak athlete, right? And so it's almost by design that Edelman and Welker and Troy Brown and Rashay Caldwell, I know Rashay Caldwell got trouble off the football field, but on the football field, he was really, really bright. Those guys are, we may have thought you needed bigger names and bigger bodies, but they don't fit in the way that Brady plays, and they found the right match for how he plays, how he thinks, and how he needs to operate.
Right. I think the natural question is now looking back at some of those New England offenses, it was always like, well, they're tailoring it to the surrounding skill position pieces they have. Well, what if they were actually tailoring the skill position pieces to Tom?
Yeah.
Right?
Makes sense.
I mean, like, okay, this is how he functions really well. You know, it is timing. It is, you know, precision. It's smarts. It's route, you know, hey, some sight adjustments. It's not necessarily, hey, Mike Evans is going to be down the field. There are going to be times where it looks like he's not open. Put the ball up. He's going to, you know, he's going to go and get it. That was never really a Tom thing ever in New England, where you just had certain guys down. I mean, shoot, even when he got the Chad Johnson thing's interesting because he was at such a tail end where, you know, you can just say Chad was done. He was over. It was finished. You can't do that with the personnel they have right now in New England. These guys are all in their wheelhouse primes. You know, even Antonio Brown's got something left. I'll say this. I still think they can figure this out. I think they can adjust it. I do think part of the way that would really help is figuring out who on that depth chart at running back can catch the ball coming out of the backfield and help to, I think Tom's still a rhythm guy. So I think you get a running back worked in there and you get those pass attempts to him and get that tempo going the way that Tom likes it. I think that really helps to play into, you know, his hands, and they can get into a rhythm and a groove. But at the end of the day, he's still got to see a freaking safety at the hash who is right there.
Oh, listen,
coming under.
Listen, I don't disagree with any of Bruce's analysis and what he's saying, and nor of ours. Just the idea that a coach who has a head coach hasn't won anything is outwardly telling a six-time Super Bowl champion about what he's doing wrong, calling him on the carpet. Like it may sound like it plays well in the locker room, but the locker room doesn't matter. It matters with 12. And if 12 could not possibly be happy at somebody pointing out their – no one likes their flaws being pointed out in public.
Hey, I get that, but 12's 43.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's 43 years old. He can do his TB12 thing forever. Like, what? He's – there comes a time to
– no doubt.
For a quarterback
when it's
to
over.
Recognize he's not – right. You know, you got to adjust. Even Peyton Manning that last year knew what he was. So you got to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, and Peyton wasn't happy about being sat down for Brock Osweiler. Oh, I'm sorry, he was not happy at all.
This is a guy who was, remember, maybe forget this. Right. Peyton Manning was literally flipping off John Elway in the practice film, like when he was benched behind Brock Osweiler. That literally happened. Like that's how upset he was about. I mean, you know, but I still think they'll figure it out. I really do believe that. And remember this about the NFC. Anybody who's listening, look at every single leading team in the NFC.
They all got flaws.
They all got flaws. Yep. They all got a fatal flaw.
And you know what? We got to run. But I will tell you, the one team that made the Seahawks and the Buccaneers look completely discombobulated were the Rams. And because Aaron Donald and that front four is so nasty, and what they've done in their back reconfiguring their defensive backfield, and they're figuring it out with Goff, and they got Todd Gurley out of that running back room, and they're better there too. I think that may be the team. They have flaws too, right? Goff has shown it in the past, but they may be the team that we're missing on. Charles, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Have a Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Stay safe, Doug.
All right, that's Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports. Our best for last is next in The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. Every day at this time in The Herd, we hold something back and we save it to you and give it to you in our best for last.
It's almost the end of the show, but that doesn't mean we're phoning it in. Nope, we grind to the very last segment. It's time for Best for Last.
All right, let's get to the 10 best gifts. All right, you're a guy, you need to buy a gift, and I'm a one gift sort of guy. Like, I don't like the little knickknacks. Guys don't buy underwear, socks, toothbrushes. Are you getting a toothbrush in your... Are they trying to say something? A little candy... Like, that's not the stuff that you get if you're a guy, you're a dad, you're a brother, you're a friend. Right? You don't get those kind of things. So, let's get to the 10 best gifts for this 2020 holiday season.
Number 10.
PS5. It's massively overpriced. Right? But you can kind of talk yourself into it because, you know, you can use these devices now for, if you don't have a smart TV, you basically plug it in, you get it, you can put all your streaming on your TV as well. It's new, it's hip. If you can pay, you know, sticker price, you're good. If you go to one of these idiots overcharging people on the internet, you're a fool.
Number 9.
The Xbox, what is it, S? Whatever, the same variety, the same thing that's Xbox, only I like Xbox better. That's really what it kind of comes down to. That's my personal choice. So that's 10 and 9.
Number 8.
All right, here's a good dad gift, okay? An indoor bounce house. Now, what happens is you're in California, you're like, what's indoors? We're outdoors. But if you're in the Midwest, you listen to us. I got my friend in Ames, Iowa is listening to us. We got people in New York listening to us. If you have a basement, we've done this. You get one of those like mini bounce houses with the balls in them. You let your kids go down there for hours. People rent those things, the big ones. You don't even rent it. Buy one of your, they're only like $100. You get so much use out of them.
Number 7.
Nerf guns. You know, make sure they're like, they don't look like real guns. The Nerf guns now are like bright green and bright orange. A little Nerf gun war. And then, of course, you got to train the kids to pick up, and then you keep your kids in line by lining them up and play sniper.
Number 6.
Nerf football. Still works. Old one, but a good one.
Number 5.
A bike. Now, pay for somebody else to set up the bike. I mean, that's, you know, anybody who's gone through marital strife knows, like, man, had we tried to set up a bike, we would have been divorced 5 years ago.
Number 4.
You guys aware of a Snuggie? And get a Snuggie. Those are big.
Number 3.
A hoodie. Any kind of hoodie. Who doesn't like a hoodie? If somebody gave you a hoodie, would you ever turn it? Plus, a hoodie is something you get for a woman. If you get it too big, you're like, well, I just thought you'd for laying around the house. Right? If you don't know their size, because that's a hard thing.
Number 2.
Flip-flops. Now, you may say to yourself, I can't wear flip-flops. No. But it's the image of it. Like, I know you can't wait till summer. I know you're excited for next summer. We think we'll be COVID-free. I just wanted to take you to that place.
Number 1.
Headphones. They're unbelievable now. They're still overpriced, you know. You get the AirPods, the headphones, the Beats by Dre, whatever. I like the name Skullcandy, even if the headphones weren't as good as all the other ones. But it gets you to drown out the world and get your own personal sound system. There's your best for last. Colin is back on Monday. I hope you enjoyed the picks. Hope you have a safe weekend. And pretend like you enjoy leftovers, even though you really don't. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.